You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is prolific conspiracy researcher Victor Thorne. Victor, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Victor, we've done quite a few interviews over the years. Now, Victor, you have a new book out, and I guess we're up to, what is this, like 50 or something?
57 or something like that.
57 or something like that, right. So you're at the Heinz 57 level, and that's not going to stay there very long, obviously, because when I first met you, you were at about 30 books, and so now we're almost double that. So you obviously don't rest, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know what they say about mutts, Dave. You know, they call them Heinz 57, so maybe that's what I am, just a mutt throwing out these books.
Well, you're doing something right. Your latest book is called Crowning Clinton, Why Hillary Shouldn't Be in the White House. For the benefit of the listeners, let them know what the premise of the book is, what it addresses.
Yeah, this is basically the follow-up to the Clinton trilogy, the Sex, Drugs, and Murder volumes, and it looks at all of the most recent scandals, crimes, etc., concerning Hillary and also her husband, Bill. So it's very timely and apropos, especially since it looks like Hillary is now the shoe-in for the Democratic nominee.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. And of course, prior to the book coming out, there was some concern from your end, from my end, other people's end, who were putting the book together, like Paul Angel, that perhaps with the investigation that is, or investigations, I don't quite know if it's one or two, or if there even are any official investigations, maybe you can enlighten the listeners about that, about this email scandal, that maybe this book wouldn't make sense because they might knock her out. But that isn't happening, obviously. After this Super Tuesday, it seems like she's the front runner and she's going to be running against Trump unless they knock him off, which seems like a strong possibility. Are there any investigations right now going on over this email scandal?
The FBI investigation is still hot and heavy, and actually yesterday on Capitol Hill, James Comey, who is the head of the FBI, said that he is very personally involved in this investigation, making sure that there's the proper resources, the personnel, and so forth. I believe just today news came out that they're going to bring in the person who actually set up Hillary's private email server in her home and have him testify and not prosecute him. So it looks like this is absolutely still moving forward. And what it boils down to is that any day we could wake up and turn on the television or the radio and see that an indictment has been brought down against Hillary. Now, that still doesn't mean a whole lot, because what has to happen after that, Dave, is that the DOJ needs to then follow up and say, yes, we are going to pursue this criminal investigation of Hillary. So being that this woman, her last name is Lynch, was appointed by Barack Obama, and Obama and Hillary, even though they've had this acrimonious relationship between each other, but Obama knows that if these two don't put their heads together, that the whole house of cards could crumble between them. So there's still a lot of unknown variables that haven't been sorted out yet, but Hillary isn't by any stretch out of the clear yet, so we shall see.
Okay, thanks for the update on that investigation. What's actually happening with the Democratic Party and the nomination in reference to, obviously, their so-called counterparts, the Republican Party?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because if you watch the Republican debates, this is basically like gladiators inside the Roman Colosseum. This is like pit bulls ripping each other's throats out. They're really savage and going after each other. Where when we look at the Democrats, first of all, they have this concept called superdelegates, which basically says that the muckety mucks have already decided beforehand who's going to be the nominee. So Hillary has so many of these that it's almost a shoo-in before the regular voters even go out and cast their ballots. So what the Democratic Party is basically saying is that we're viewing our people as children, that they can't be trusted to make the proper decision. And then the Democrats put up this opponent, Bernie Sanders, who isn't even trying to win since day one, hasn't tried. He's basically a protest candidate. And even at their debates, when you watch Hillary and Bernie Sanders, it's like two cheerleaders poo-pooing each other with pom-poms. So it's really abysmal that the Democratic Party has such little respect for their own people. They view them as children. I've watched every one of the Republican debates except for one, and it gets savage in this arena, and it's really entertaining to see them go at each other. So there is a huge contrast between the two parties, even though, as we know, both of them, they work hand in hand, ultimately anyway, but there is a stark difference.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that, because as I've told you before, I haven't watched TV in over 25 years, and I have not watched one debate. I think I saw like a snippet from one maybe like 3 weeks ago or a month. But
I'm so entertained by them. I'm like laughing my ass off, yelling. It's some of the greatest theater I've ever seen. It's really, really entertaining. At least for people like me, it's a junkie for this show.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. Well, besides not having time, I can't do it. It's just too hard for me to sit there and actually watch these jokes. But like I said, Trump is the only one, because he's not the cardboard cutout that these politically correct war criminals are. And of course, I'm not saying that Trump is the savior like a lot of people are saying he is, and that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, if he gets in, then let's see what he's got and let him show his colors. But I think so many people are disgusted with these phony politicians that they're gravitating to Trump. I think that's the main reason, that he seems to be like a real man. He's telling you flat out, I care less about political correctness. Throw them out, do this, do that. But then it's so ironic that you see this cardboard cutout, Romney, come out and call Trump phony.
It is. When you look back to 2012 and how abysmal the first 4 years of the Obama administration was, and Mitt Romney, when the election is handed to him on a platter and he still can't win it, Mitt Romney should do what he's been doing for the last 3 years, and that's going away and being quiet.
Yeah, with all his millions. You know, you brought something up that's very important, and it's also very disheartening. Superdelegate situation where it's so rigged, it's a complete farce. I mean, like I said, anyone with half a brain should know that. But here where they just don't care about the citizens and what they might want or not want, and they have their delegates who do the voting for them, even though, like I said and you said, it's not based upon what people want. Just like our criminal politicians in Washington, D.C., so many times polls are taken what the American people want, and they do the exact opposite. It's so clear, and I think that's why people are so disgusted now more than ever, and why Trump has a chance if they don't kill him, which I think, like I said, is a great possibility. But something really important in your book, because I did read your book, I actually proofed it a couple of times, so I know what's in there. And one of the parts I think that's very important for folks to understand, which I don't know how many people are really up to date with this, is the Clinton Foundation. Now, you talked about how they're basically giving Hillary a pass. They want to crown her, obviously. They're letting her do whatever she wants in the sense of these delegates. How much does the Clinton Foundation have to do with that, how she's getting her way? And just briefly explain to the listeners, because they need obviously to pick up the book to find out all about it, the sordid details about it. What is the Clinton Foundation, and how tied in is that to what seems to be happening with her getting the nomination and nothing happening as far as investigations or any wrongdoing coming about?
Well, right now, the Clinton Foundation is the crux of everything. This is their personal slush fund. So for the 4 years while Hillary was Secretary of State, she globetrotted around the world, and what she did was cut deals. Now people say, oh, well, she was doing her job. Well, actually, she wasn't doing her job, at least not for America. She was doing her job as the founder of the Clinton Foundation. So these deals that she was cutting, she's basically going to a country and they needed something. They needed the United States to pass some kind of legislation or whatever. So she would cut a deal. But what would happen is that they would funnel money into the Clinton Foundation. Then Bill would hop over there and give a speech for 45 minutes or whatever, and he would be paid. And then, lo and behold, a month or two later, legislation would be passed in favor of this particular country. So the Clintons have been doing the same thing since the 1980s when they were the co-governors of Arkansas. Simply, they've made this on a much bigger scale, a global scale. So when Hillary set up her private email account, why did she do that? Well, primarily she did it because she didn't trust Obama and she didn't trust anybody else in the federal government having access or looking into her email, what she was doing while she was out there traveling all around the world. So this is why we have such a huge cover-up, is that Hillary should have had a State Department email account, but since she was working off the books almost entirely, so too was she doing so with this email server, primarily to do business for the Clinton Foundation, not to make America a better country. There's many more details in the book, but this is a multi-million dollar foundation, tax-free, of course, just like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds use. So the Clintons have learned their lessons well.
I mean, I actually interviewed, as you know, Hillary Clinton personally, face-to-face. She was the only person I ever actually met during an interview. Most of them are done, or all of them are done, over the telephone or over the computer. And one thing that struck me about her is she was very political. She was like a consummate politician. And she put me at ease right away. She knew exactly what to do. I was a little nervous seeing her, and this was going back 14 years ago. What do you think about her? I know you haven't gotten up close and personal with her, which when you do, it can give you more insights into a person. But what do you think about her? Studying her all these years, do you believe that Hillary believes that she is royalty?
It's interesting because in 2008, I did get up close and personal to Hillary, maybe 25 feet away from her at a political speech. That was when she was at Penn State University at Rec Hall. So I have seen her, obviously didn't have a chance to speak with her, but I saw her up close. I know I've told you this story, Dave, but there was something about her that was different than the rest of human beings. And others that I was with that day said the same thing afterward. They said, look at her eyes. She's different than we are. So does she consider herself above us? Without a doubt. I mean, if you watch how she carries herself, the arrogance, the dismissive attitude she has, if she's questioned about anything, to her, to even do these debates against Bernie Sanders or to even sit down for an interview on NBC or something like that, to her is like, why should I have to reduce myself in this situation? Why don't I simply have the crown placed atop my head? And, you know, that's why I thought this was such an appropriate title for the book, Crowning Clinton, Why Hillary Shouldn't Be in the White House, is because in her eyes, she does think she's a queen, that she's royalty. And then with the cover art by Pete Papaheraklis, he has a crown on her head. So all of these different pieces of the puzzle all came together, and it seemed the perfect title to match the concept of her mindset, that she is, the way she sees it, much, much above the rest of us little people, and she should be lording over us without question.
Yeah, I think most people could sense that when they watch her, like you said, her dismissive behavior, even in front of Congress, the way that she acts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, geez, I don't have to be here, but I'm going to sit here and entertain you guys. Yeah, thank you, Paul Angel, for that title. And thank you, Pete Papaheraklis, for that great piece of art there. It is a nice looking cover. Here you are, you've been plugging away for all these decades, digging up information that, like you said, is almost completely ignored by the mainstream media, by the elite media, almost completely ignored by the elite publishing houses. But just recently, a more mainstream author came out with a book about Hillary, and in the dedication, he referenced you as someone who was an inspiration for the book. Can you tell the listeners about that? Because that's very, very significant.
Yeah, his name is Roger Stone. He co-authored the book with Robert Morrow. And Roger Stone has been around since the 70s. He's a high, high, high-level GOP operative. And he wrote a book called The Clinton's War on Women that is selling very, very well, could have made it into the New York Times bestseller list. I'm not sure exactly the status of it. But on the dedication page, he dedicated, I think, 12 or 13 different people, including Matt Drudge, including Sean Hannity of Fox News, and also myself, Victor Thorne. So this was a real tribute, and he said that the work that I did in the Clinton trilogy was so important that he used that as one of the main references. Also, the Clinton trilogy is going to be published in Poland, translated and published. So, you know, all the work that not only myself, but American Free Press is doing, sometimes it seems thankless, but there are people out there paying attention, people that are in the big leagues that are looking at our work and saying, you know what, this is valuable. And they're the ones out there digging up the real dirt on these people like the Bushes and the Clintons. And Roger Stone, I was very honored that he not only cited my books, but also included me in the dedication. So we are making headway, and if Hillary can be stopped somehow, I think that it's really our efforts here at the grassroots level, Dave, that's really making the difference, and then it filters into these other venues. I believe that 4 more years or 8 years of Clinton in the White House would be the final stake in the heart of this country, and it has to be stopped.
And I always ask this question when I interview an author about their books. Why should somebody pick up this book?
The primary reason is that if you get your information from mainstream sources, whether it's Fox News or CNN, the major networks, or even the big websites, the Huffington Post or Drudge Report or any of them, they're going to give you a little bit of the story, but they're not going to give you the whole story. A good example is Benghazi. There's numerous chapters in this book that tell the real story about what happened in Benghazi. And without giving away too many details, what it boils down to is that Hillary should not only be imprisoned in America, she should probably be in The Hague for violating international law for what she did down there in Benghazi. People say, oh, well, you know, Fox News, they're really tough on Hillary. No, they're not. Dave, they're not tough on her at all. This book here tells the real story about not only what happened in Benghazi and with the emails, but also with all of the rapes and the sexual misbehavior of Bill Clinton, who's a sexual predator. If you watch Fox News for 24, 48 hours for 3 weeks, they might mention this or at least allude to it one time. And then without even going into the real details of Juanita Broderick or anything like that, this book pulls no punches. We don't walk on eggshells. This is the real deal. So if anybody out there is thinking to themselves, we've had 8 years of a disaster with Barack Obama, do we want another 4 or 8 years that continues Obama's policies, except they're going to put Hillary Clinton in there? If anybody doesn't want that to happen, this is the book they have to read. It's short to the point. They can read it in one sitting if need be. They can get other copies, give them to friends, maybe someone who's on the fence, maybe a woman who's saying, well, Hillary could be the first female president. I'd really like that. Anybody, I can guarantee, anybody that has this book in their hands will not vote for Hillary Clinton. There's no way that they could.
Victor Thorne, the author of Crowning Clinton, Why Hillary Shouldn't Be in the White House. Victor, again, thanks so much for taking the time. I'd explain all this to the listeners. And thanks for doing what you're doing, and congratulations on getting your Clinton trilogy translated and published and for sale now in Poland. And also congratulations on your latest book, the Crowning Clinton book, and looking forward to talking to you real soon.
One last thing, Dave, I have to give you a thank you for setting up this deal with the Polish publisher. Dave was instrumental. Without him, this deal wouldn't have went through. So I know you're humble, but that should also be mentioned at the end of this interview, that this is a group effort, that we're all putting our efforts together. So without you doing that, it wouldn't have gotten done.
Well, I appreciate that. All right, Victor, talk to you soon.